I didn't have anything else planned for today. Let's go get drunk.
This is Let's Go Get Drunk number, I guess we're up to 3 now. I wouldn't actually keep, I don't remember much of the first two, the amount we've been drinking. Yeah, I guess this would be number 3. And I've got Madman, and I've got Rofaxen back here again. This is Morps, where we basically just take the first few minutes of decking, where everybody discusses what random way they're poisoning their own liver, and we've expanded out into a full show. So, what's everybody starting on tonight? I've got some banana bread beer, Wells banana bread beer.
I recall that being delicious. When I went to the liquor barn, which is one reason I'm slightly late, it's like walking through a candy store. They were showcasing a lot of the microbrews around Kentucky, so I picked up Kentucky Ale, which is, I think, the beer that they turn into Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale.
Okay.
Before it's aged in a bourbon barrel. And then, for comparison, just to confirm that, I did grab some Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale.
Very nice. Yeah, I've got some Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale in the fridge. I'm just going to wait on a little bit, night break into it tonight. Because the other thing I have, which I'm going to get into later tonight, is some Fuki Sake. And yes, I bought it because the name was Fuki.
So, it may or may not be actually good sake.
I have no idea. But it's got a big label saying 100% imported from Japan, and its name sounds like saying fucky. So,
that's enough reason to get it.
Yeah, Rofaxen, what do you got your hands on there, man?
To start out with, I'm having Newcastle Werewolf, which I really like. And then when I'm done with that, this one's not nearly as good, but I'm going to have a Leinenkugel's Honey Weiss.
I like Leinenkugel's. They usually do pretty decent beers.
They do. I just wasn't a huge fan of this one. I can't remember exactly what it tasted like, but I don't think I was a huge fan of it.
You know, that's interesting to me, because I love just regular Newcastle, and I tried the Werewolf, and I wasn't really all that impressed with it. I mean, it was decent, I just didn't see the need to buy it again, you know what I mean?
It, for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's kind of a sweet finish. I don't know exactly why, but I really like the Werewolf. It's one of my favorite beers. There's just something about it that I really enjoy, the balance of the hops and the malts and all that. I don't know why, but I love it. It's one of my new favorite beers.
That's one of the reasons that it's so good that we have so many varieties now, is you can find the one you actually like versus, you know, whatever Budweiser put in the can this week.
Right.
So, well, I guess I'll go ahead and start here. I don't know that I'm going to go through and do an official rating for this one, mainly because I didn't bring a beer glass in here. But if this banana bread beer actually tastes like bananas when you drink it. And you would think that kind of a flavoring might not work, but it does. It's got, you know, it's like a darker beer with, I'm sure it's like a banana extract they've stuck in it, but it says they brewed it with bananas and then they added the flavoring after the fact as well. But, I mean, it works. It's kind of sweet, but, yeah, it's liquid banana bread.
I just can't imagine that being good.
It works, though. I mean, Madman has had it as well, haven't you?
Yes, I have bought it. And I thought it was pretty good.
I have to keep my eye out for it, because it doesn't sound good.
It's like they took an oatmeal stout and put bananas in it.
So bizarre. I just can't imagine this beer. I'm going to have to find this and try it, because I just can't imagine it being good, but people say it's good. It can't be horrible.
Well, I mean, you know, you get that banana flavor in there, and then it's like Madman said, it's a stout. So it's not like it's clashing real bad, but it is a flavor you're not expecting. And I could see if you're not expecting it, you might, you know, spit it out and go, what in the world?
I don't know about spitting it out, but it would be surprising. It is still good.
Yeah, it's good.
Had an interesting experiment. This is mostly off topic, but it's alcohol related, so I'm gonna, speaking of surprising flavors, I was having dinner a couple nights ago, and so What was it? My wife gets those, like, I don't know what they are. They're the things you squeeze in water and then they make, like, flavored water, right? So she had been having those a lot, and they're, like, berry flavor or whatever. So there's
okay,
a big,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. There's a big glass of what looked like those berry water things. So I was like, oh, that looks good, because it's in a glass, not a wine glass. That gives away the second half of the story. So I took a big drink of it, and it was actually a Chianti. And I was like, what the hell? What just happened there? And, yeah, I was not expecting wine in the least. It just, alcohol in general wasn't in my mind, and I took, like, a giant, like, gulp of it, because I was thirsty, and I was like, what the hell is this? And I could not figure it out till she actually told me, it's like, no, that's wine. And I was like, oh, it's like, is it really that bad? It's like, no, I just didn't know what to expect, because I was thinking I was going to have some, like, really berry drink.
I thought you were
going
to get Kool-Aid, so.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get really flavorful Kool-Aid, and instead I get wine, and just really threw me off.
Yeah, I know those little extra. It's a concentrate in a little squeeze bottle. I used to get them for making tea every once in a while because they were really good for adding to things. And so that's not where I thought you were going to go when you first were describing these things. I thought you were going to say you grabbed an IPA and started squeezing one of these things into it.
That'd be delicious.
I don't know. That could go one way or the other. Might be worth trying sometime just as an experiment. Maybe we'll let Slothin do that.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea.
So, I mean, we haven't really gotten into mixed drinks much on this show yet. I mean, we might eventually. I mean, I tend to enjoy whiskey sours, so I might get into that at some point. I normally don't condone mixing whiskey with anything, but I mean, if you know what you're doing, if you've actually got a mixologist there, it can come out pretty good.
And if you happen to have cheap alcohol you're trying to get rid of.
Yeah, I mean, no, you wouldn't mix it with anything good. I mean, if you're mixing Woodford's with anything, you probably deserve to be smacked. But, you know, if you've got, like, the very old Barton or, you know, like the $7 bottle of whiskey. I mean, yeah, it's something you didn't pay for.
I just don't want $7 whiskey to be in my...
That's fair enough, man.
Unless someone gave it to me. I mean, I never throw alcohol out. I suppose
that's a killing offense in some places, isn't it?
As it should be. Not just your liver.
Well, Rofex, and tell us about that werewolf you're drinking there.
I like it. And that's all you're getting out of it. No. it's not a... I don't know what you'd call it. Maybe a brown ale.
Uh-huh.
It's nice because it's got a really nice sweet finish. I think that's my favorite part about it. Now, I'll admit, and I don't say this often, but it's possible it's a little bit underhopped. I can't tell. There's so much sweetness. I feel like there should be extra hops to balance it out. I'm not a huge hop fan, so that works for me. But, okay. I mean, that may be a problem with the beer. But it's just got a really nice, complicated flavor, and I really love the sweet finish to it. That's something that the last beer I made had, and I love the sweet finish of a beer. I think it adds a lot of extra character to it.
You would actually probably like this banana beer, then, because it's got a pretty good sweet finish to it as well. I mean, it's not hyper sweet, but that's where you really get that banana flavor.
So the banana, is it coming more as like an after flavor?
Yeah, it's more in the finish than anything.
That could be good. I'll have to try it. I'm going to suspend judgment until I do.
Yeah, I recommend you try it. I mean, it's not bad. Wells Banana Bread Beer. Of course, I haven't seen anybody else make it, so I mean, you're probably not going to have a hard time finding the wrong one.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a particularly strong beer. It's only a 5%.
I mean, if you have those, you just drink more of them.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually listening to a show about session beers and the popularity of, like, even as low as 3% beers kind of making a return, because you can sit around and drink them, you know, literally all night long. And, you know, if you drink what most people homebrew. I mean, if you're anything like me, my homebrew is like 7-8%. After two of them, you're feeling a good buzz, and if you drink like a 12-pack, you're probably going to die of alcohol poisoning. So you can't do it, but they're thinking of a bunch of homebrewers were talking about how they were doing session beers, like 3-4%, and you just sit around all night long and you drink it, and you're enjoying a good beer the whole time, but you end up not getting smashed. Neat idea. I like my beer being 7%, so I'm not going to do it, but neat idea nonetheless.
I don't know. At 3%, it's almost a near beer. It's not like almost not even really a beer.
That's true. You wouldn't even get the buzz. And I don't always get smashed when I drink, but I really do like getting at least a buzz. And 3% doesn't seem like you'd even get that.
You know, I'll be honest. About the only time I ever really tend to get smashed is this show.
Well, at least your priorities are in the right place.
You can go with higher alcohol content beer and just space out your drinking some.
Well, you could do that, too. But then you don't get to drink as much and enjoy the flavor or some
such.
That
just means you spend less time in the bathroom.
Well, now that is actually a fair point.
All right, Madman, tell us about the beer you've got there, man.
Well, they're trying to brew two different beers from people that settled Kentucky, like traditional beers. They're blending an English pale ale and an Irish red. And as far as the color goes, it looks like an Irish red. But it has the hoppier aftertaste of a pale ale. And I'm not going to go with it being, it's not overhopped, because they're saying they were going for a pale ale, and it has a pale ale aftertaste. But it starts out like a red. It's kind of like Pillions and Bass mixed together. So it's interesting. I can tell this is actually the beer that they age in the bourbon barrel, and I can tell why they do it. The bourbon barrel gives it the bourbony, sweeter whiskey aftertaste.
Yeah.
And this, I think they made this just to age, and then they decided, we're already making this beer, let's put it out and see how people like it. It's not bad. It's a good beer. It's just strange.
Well, you've probably gotten so used to having that beer flavored in the whiskey barrels that you're not quite sure what to do with it now that you don't get that flavor there. You know, I'm kind of wondering if you'd reverse the order in which you tried them if you'd think differently. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or if I had a second glass and was just sipping one then the other and comparing.
Well?
Ooh, haha, I don't need a glass. It's in a bottle. I just need to pop open the lid.
Oh, I hope the tape picked that up. Sam Broadcaster is what we're actually recording here, but I hope it picked up him opening that bottle because we heard it in TeamSpeak.
I know, it was a nice effect, too. Now, I have actually tried the Kentucky Bourbon Ale, is what you're drinking. I've tried that before, and it's ridiculously expensive, at least here it is. But that's a really good beer. But
oh, yeah, it's like, I love that stuff.
Which variety have you tried, like from which brewing company?
I don't actually remember. I just know it's called Kentucky Bourbon Ale. We've only got one available to us that I've ever seen, so probably the more popular of the two.
Well, there's two we know of. There's the Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale, and it's the Kentucky Ale Company, and those are the ones I always get. And then there's the BBC Kentucky Ale, and that's a different brand, and they use a little bit different process. And I don't think this is my personal opinion, I think the Kentucky Ale brand is better than the BBC brand of that style of beer. But I, you know, that's a judgment call.
BBC uses, I think, a traditional pale ale when they age it. And Kentucky, like I said, they went for a mix of an Irish red and a pale ale, which gives it a very unique flavor.
Yeah.
Guessing I had the Kentucky one, but I wouldn't swear to that. I just know The beer's name was Kentucky Bourbon Ale.
You had the Kentucky Ale Company's version of it.
Okay.
Yeah, the other one says BBC written on it. It's in big letters, BBC Bourbon Barrel Ale.
Okay.
And the Kentucky one has Kentucky written over the top of it with a horse and then Bourbon Barrel Ale.
Yeah, that's the one I had.
It's pricey. I mean, it wasn't 15. It's not 15 bucks here. It's more like 10.
It's 15 bucks for a 4-pack.
Yeah.
Here it's 10 for a 4-pack.
Yeah, they sell it in 4-packs.
A little better since it's not.
The Kentucky Ale sold in 6-packs for the same amount.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hadn't been aged.
It hasn't been aged in a bourbon barrel. It's just straight ale.
Now, what's the alcohol percentage on both of them?
The bourbon barrel is 10 point something. I think 10.5.
I know it's really high. Got some of that bourbon in it, I'm assuming. I mean, you're getting more alcohol by volume. I mean, if that's what you're measuring by. But then again, if that's what you're measuring by, you should just buy Everclear, which isn't really good.
You know, I haven't actually found a great way to drink Everclear because it's like, oh, I need water. My lips are about to bleed.
Hey, you know what a bad way to drink Everclear is? Double shots.
I was going to say, there's several ways to answer that question. It depends on what way of bad we're going here.
We're going with, you get the sour apple mix, martini mixer, and Everclear, and then die. You just die later on that night.
You just die.
Be good, though, because I know the first time I had it, I had, like, you know, the double shot glass, and I filled that and just took a shot of straight. And, you know, it wasn't good.
It's not good doing that. Everclear is actually a great, great mixer.
I think I actually burned skin off my throat.
I believe it.
I really do, and I did not do that a second time. Well, I did it a second time, actually, but in the same night, and then never again.
I hear a popular thing to do with Everclear is to put it in jars with cherries and let it ferment for, like, you know, 6 months.
That probably wouldn't be a bad idea. You get a little bit of the cherry flavor in there and sip it.
Yeah, you'd sip it, and then, you know, when you want to die of alcohol poisoning, you just eat one of the cherries.
Exactly. Even mixed with cherries, you'd still think you'd have to mix it with something else.
I'm sure the thing to do would be to cut it with probably water. Just to thin it a little bit so it's not gonna, you know, suck the moisture out and dehydrate your throat.
Right.
I almost want to punch you for even suggesting mixing any form of alcohol with water.
Well, what would you mix Everclear with?
Everclear. I said, it's meant to fucking kill you.
So when Madman decides to become a serial killer, we know what his weapon of choice now is going to be.
I'm
going to
strap somebody down and give him an alcohol enema.
Oh, God. With Everclear, that's just cruel.
Well, so you still have those sinus problems you were complaining about?
God.
18 minutes in, and that's about the... Wow.
Yeah. I mean, what do you follow that with, really?
I'm not actually sure.
Just completely change the subject. I mean, that's the only thing you can
do. This is a very clear ale. Nice red color. I think I like this beer. Although, when I was at the liquor store checking out all the different singles you can buy just for trying out beers, I noticed one, and it just brought a comment Rofaxen made on our first show right to mind. The overhopping of crafted beers just to make them different. One was actually advertising that. It says generously hopped. So I put it back on the shelf.
I think I saw that same one over in the mix and max singles section. So I was thinking I'm just going to start raiding that little singles aisle for this show just to get different stuff to try.
Oh, yeah, I've got two more from BBC and the Kentucky Ale Company in the fridge right now, chilling. But depending on how quick I drink these two beers that I've now opened, I'll have others.
I mean, they're both open. You can't let them go flat. That happens in, like, I don't know, 20 minutes, right?
I have no idea, but they're not going to be around that long.
Now, you know, you're talking about mixing alcohol with water, which I don't do. But when we went to, we were touring some distillery, I think it was Oban, which they have okay whiskey, but it's not my favorite. And they're talking about how, you know, you need to get the right flavor profile, you can add a few drops of water, distilled water or whatever. And I noticed that all the whiskey distilleries we went to, they had droppers of water where you could add water to the whiskey, and Amber Maiden actually adds water to her whiskey because she thinks it's better that way. She thinks she can taste the flavors more and everything else, and I tried her whiskey that she had added water to, and it tasted like watered-down whiskey, and I thought it was horrid, but some people do still add water to their whiskey.
It's a traditional way of drinking bourbon. That's one reason people put ice in it, actually. Not just to chill it, but the melting ice unlocks some of the flavor characteristics of the bourbon. I just don't generally let the bourbon and the ice hang out together that long.
Yeah, I was going to say, my shots don't usually last long enough to really affect the flavor profile there at the end. I mean,
and I never add ice to my whiskey because I don't want to risk it being watered down, but yes, a lot of people do, and they did it now, in Oliver Twist, so can't be all wrong.
The only reason I was suggesting water to cut Everclear with is because I don't know what else you would cut it with that would, I don't know how else to help it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and now whiskey, when it comes straight out of the barrel, they don't just throw it in a bottle and serve it. I mean, they cut it with distilled water.
Yeah.
Which I think the mix that they get at the distillery is just about right. So I like it. I like it that strength. I just don't add extra water, but a lot of people do. They're wrong.
Everclear isn't an alcohol meant to be drank and enjoyed. It's meant to get you smashed as hell.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It's kind of like 151 rum. It exists.
I like 151, though.
It's generally meant to be mixed to make other things, like zombies. It's not generally marketed as a, let's take some rum and just sip on rum. Here's some 151.
Yeah,
I've done that. It's not really meant for that, but I've done that.
It's good, though.
Kind of think of the stereotypical old guy, and, you know, rich old guy in his study, and, like, he could be sipping on, I don't know, brandy, or he could be sipping on a fine whiskey or a scotch. Can you really imagine him sipping on Everclear? Would that work? I just can't imagine it. And I wouldn't really think he'd be sipping on 151 either, but I suppose it.
I'd be frightened of an old rich guy sipping on Everclear in his study. I mean, that would just be like, they'd be like, okay, and we're leaving.
I mean, it's not classy. Drinking Everclear cannot be construed as being classy. There's no way.
So, has everybody finished their first round? Because I've finished mine. I think
I've been going back and forth. So I'm getting close to finishing a beer, or I've finished a beer and still have a beer.
So I'm thinking about opening up the sake here. This is a, it's literally Fuki Sake, and I bought it because I thought the name was funnier than the other brand. So I am not a mature person. Anyone who listens to the stream probably knows that.
I know it's called rice wine, but isn't sake made somewhat like beer?
Kind of. Let's see here. What's it say on the back of the bottle? Superior quality sake is made from the finest rice and pure water. So it's made from rice. They say drink it warm in a small sake cup. Well, I'm using a shot glass.
Well, you've just ruined the whole experience now.
What'd you say, Rofex? I didn't hear
I said you just ruined the whole experience. Just throw it out the window.
I don't have a sake glass, though.
So. And you can't
buy
drink
one
sake.
When you were at the liquor store?
Jeez.
I didn't think it was necessary. I have this little wide shot glass, which is kind of close.
Not even a rounded shot glass.
Yeah, it's round.
Oh, well then, it's a sake glass. That's what a sake glass is. It's a round shot glass.
Hell, it might be a sake glass that I bought because I thought it looked like a shot glass. I don't know. It looks close enough.
I have to ask, are you drinking it warm or cold?
It's going to be room temperature.
Okay.
I didn't feel like heating it up.
Fair enough. I do have to say, I really like sake warm.
You nuke it?
What's that? If I'm preparing it, yeah.
I've had it nuked, and then I've had somebody treat it like a baby bottle. Like, the first time I had sake, they boiled some water in a saucepan and put the bottle in it.
Damn.
See, I'm not willing to do all that.
Like, that's too much work to get drunk.
Yeah, it really
is. I think
is.
You're supposed to put it in, like, a some kind of a kettle before you do that, as opposed to...
Just a whole bottle?
Yeah. Unless, if you're going to drink the whole bottle, that's a...
Well... Now, I know I had sake once. There's a Asian restaurant. I guess it's a Chinese restaurant, really. Well, they've got, like, Chinese and sushi. Lots of sushi. Anyway, I was on, like, a thing, and it was my wife and my sister and her fiancé or husband or whatever he was at the time. There was, like, four people, and they were all like, oh, we should try sake because we're at the Chinese restaurant. So we ordered, like... four servings of sake came in these little bottles or whatever. We got two of the little bottles. And then, like, absolutely everybody tried it and thought it was horrible. They said it tasted like warmed up vodka, which it doesn't, but that's what they said. So everyone hated their sake, so I got four servings of sake, and I was like, this is awesome.
Well, it's got an tipsy. Interesting smell to it. It's been forever since I've had sake. I don't really remember trying it. I know I have. I just don't really remember... whether I liked it or not, to be honest. So.
I had a strange experience the first time we were drinking sake. We went through four bottles of sake playing D&D. Over 2 days. Didn't sleep.
Now, that's not stereotypical at all.
Sake, D&D, and not sleeping?
Yeah, I mean, it should have been something Asian themed. Stereotypes, right. Yeah, that would be interesting.
This has got an interesting flavor to it. I mean, it's sweeter than I was expecting. But at the same time, it kind of looks like rubbing alcohol. So, but I could drink this. I don't think I'm going to drink it a lot. But it's not bad. I'm trying to figure out how to describe the flavor profile of it, because it's not a very strong flavor, you know what I mean? And it's definitely got a unique flavor to it, but I'm not quite sure how to place it. It's not rice, I mean, that's...
I thought it was a very smooth drink when I tried it.
It's definitely very smooth. How strong is this stuff? Let's see, this is 16%, so it's got a little bit to it. I mean, it doesn't taste like a 16% drink. So, I don't know. I mean, I could drink this. I don't think it'd be a very common thing, but it's certainly something different.
That's one reason Budweiser uses rice in their formula. It ups the alcohol content some without adding a lot of flavor characteristics to the beer.
Yeah. I'm betting this probably would be better a little bit warmed up. I can see why you'd do that. And this is just room temperature, but it's not bad.
It doesn't really compare to any of the alcohols we have. You can't say, oh, it's kind of like a whiskey, or it's kind of like vodka, or it's kind of like beer. It's definitely its own unique thing.
Well, if I was going to compare it to anything, I'd compare it to wine. I mean, that's the closest, as far as a, you know, domestic style alcohol that I can think of for it. But it doesn't... It almost tastes like wine without flavor. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I could see that. It doesn't have any of the, like, bite or astringency that wines have, or...
No, there's no bite to it whatsoever. I'm kind of wondering now if I had one of those little flavor extracts that you were talking yes. about earlier.
Squeeze it in there. Yeah.
Look, now we have tropical punch sake.
Hey, put a little bit of Kool-Aid in this and watch every person who knows what they're doing to go absolutely insane.
And now some Asian man that was listening to our podcast has decided that we should be stabbed.
He's going to show up at Gen Con. It's like, you put Kool-Aid in sake, didn't you? Maybe? Yeah, bend over.
We're like a pouch of grape Kool-Aid in sake? How dare you?
It's like, yeah, we're just going to kick your ass now. I mean,
like, wait. Don't get all upset. We drank it out of those twirly straws.
That makes everything okay.
Now, quickly, while they're rolling on the floor laughing, run like hell.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, boy.
Oh, do you have the digital dojo sound? Because we might as well offend him the rest of the way.
I can get that up real quick. Hang on a second. Let me switch soundboards over to Pure Decking. That's a tail on that gong there. That's a
yeah, it is. All right, now just in case had any Asian listeners we've offended and been insensitive to them.
We don't actually have any live listeners at the moment, but we'll, you know, when people go to download the recordings.
Yeah. Now let's make fun of the Russians.
I don't have any vodka.
The coloration is the same. I just poured the bourbon barrel beer into my empty beer glass.
And it's the same color.
Yeah, it's the same color.
That actually surprises me. Figured it'd be darker.
Might be slightly, but I'm thinking pretty much the same color. I mean, I was drinking a red, so it already had a nice tinge to it. But in the glass, you get a lot more of the smell of bourbon. Oh, an experiment I should have tried. I had a bottle of bourbon right next to me. I could have, after drinking half the normal Kentucky stout, put like a shot of bourbon in it and seen what that was.
Ooh, if you got close to the... I've still got some of that bourbon extract from where I was trying to flavor some of the homebrew. Do you have any more of that stuff?
Yeah, I bought a six-pack of it.
Yeah, cool. We might experiment with mixing it with, you know, bourbon or bourbon extract or Kool-Aid or whatever.
I would definitely start with Kool-Aid.
Expert chemical advice here on Let's Get Drunk.
So, we're never going to do homebrewing, actual homebrewing, after we've been drinking, right? Because we're going to come up with some fucked up shit.
So, we made Slim Jim beer.
Hey, that sounds good. Let me write this down.
See, we threw a bunch of Slim Jims in the fermenter with the beer. God. That would be horrid.
No, that won't work. You'll have to puree the Slim Jims first.
Oh! Oh, God. All that grease in those would just sit at the bottom of the beer.
Did I tell you guys about the... Speaking of meaty beers, did I tell you about the bacon beer I had?
This sounds interesting. No, you did not.
Okay, don't try it. Okay, no, try it, but, like, have lots of friends over so each of you only get a sip, because that's all you'll be able to stomach. It's by Rogue, which is actually a...
Rogue's company. A decent beer company.
Yeah, they're actually a good beer company, but it's, let's see, Voodoo Donut Bacon Maple Ale. And I thought, bacon maple ale, that actually sounds kind of really good.
I was kind of... You were kind of hoping more for the maple and less of the bacon, though, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought it would be like, oh, it's not going to taste like bacon. It's going to have smoky hint, you know, smoky flavor, and then maple, and it'll be good. It's like drinking meat. Can you imagine drinking meat?
I don't know. This actually sounds like might be the drinking meat concept actually sounds like it might be good. I mean,
well, it turns out meat was meant to be a solid, not a liquid, because it was some of the most god-awful stuff I've ever had.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, it was horrible. So I had my wife have some, and she thought it was hideous, and she took one sip and no more. And it came in one of those big bottles, and I got so I had two full glasses of it. I got halfway through the first glass, and I threw it out.
Yeah.
I have never thrown beer out before. It was just... It seriously tasted like liquid bacon. And I was like, oh, God, no, what have you done? I stopped trying experimental bacon things. Like, you know, you always eat bacon candy or whatever, and I always try that. I stopped. I just stopped having everything bacon-related for, like, a month, because it was horrible.
That's some pretty seriously bad beer if it, like, turned you off to bacon for a month.
Well, it turned me off to artificial bacon flavoring. I'd still eat real bacon. I just wouldn't experiment. Bacon ice cream, bacon chocolate. I didn't even want to experiment with those things anymore. And I normally love those things.
Dip toast into it? And then tried to make like an artificial BLT using beer and tomatoes?
I was actually thinking you were going to go the French toast route there, but you know.
You know, maybe it would have been good to cook with. But I don't really buy beer to cook with, so...
Oh, you should so try a chocolate beer cake with caramelized bacon.
Now, I don't know if you guys have tried this or not. Chocolate dipped bacon with a little bit of salt on it is actually fantastic.
I've had chocolate with pieces of bacon in it, but they didn't have nearly enough bacon for my liking. And it was good, though.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of thinking that kind of a, you know, like a bacon beer might actually work. But if they got the mix wrong, one, because what you'd want is, it's kind of like that banana beer. You don't want to get, you know, open the thing and get bowled over by it. You want to get just kind of that hint of it, you know?
Yeah, and that was the problem. It wasn't a hint. I mean, all you could taste, I don't even know if it had hops and malts in it, because all you could taste was bacon. And liquid rancid bacon at that, so yeah, that wasn't.
We took our bad batches and mixed them a little bit, and then put all this flavoring in them and put them in a bottle.
Very well could have been, because, yeah, it was not good. The bottle was awesome, though. It was, like, bright pink, and had such high hopes.
Yep.
Oh, very not good.
I don't know. Canned beverage meat has ever been something I've thought of trying. Like, Jones puts out a turkey dinner six-pack. For Thanksgiving every year. It's either a 6-pack or an 8-pack. One of the cans of soda is turkey-flavored soda. And just there I stopped. I didn't buy it.
Well, I think one year Lore and Slothan and I tried those. And I don't remember the turkey, but I remember the salmon mousse. And yeah, it did taste about like what you'd expect it to. Not a compliment, but it tastes about like what you'd expect it to. It's god-awful.
You know, I just sent you guys a link. You got me thinking about it. I was thinking we ought to order a couple of cans of tactical bacon for Gen Con.
What?
It's bacon in a can that supposedly is good for 10 years.
Really?
And from what I understand, it's absolutely awful.
Damn it.
If you buy that, I'll bring some shrimp chips and we can just all throw up.
Hey, hey, Sloth, guess what we're doing for your show?
Yes. How did we get off of let's talk about alcohol to let's talk about weird things that will make you throw up?
I don't know.
Oh, God, there's videos.
There's a line you almost never want to hear.
Bacon will save you.
Oh. Oh.
No.
Well, that was my second shot of sake there, and, I'm not I'm not terribly enamored with it, but I could see drinking it.
Not bad.
No, it's not bad. I mean, it's just a... It's so different that I'm not sure that it's something I'd want to go for all the time. And I kind of wish I'd gotten a smaller bottle.
You know, next time and you get a smaller bottle, but look for plum sake. Because plum sake is actually really pretty decent. I've only had it about once, but I really did care for it when I had it.
I think I saw it when I was looking at different sakes because I thought, hey, let's get something different for the show, you know?
Yeah.
But, I was kind of thinking, I could definitely see a flavored sake being, maybe that's just the, I'm American. Bacon flavored sake.
Yes.
Flavored sakes are pretty traditional.
Well, this one's obviously not flavored because there's no flavor to it at all. And it's very smooth. It's not bad. It doesn't taste like a, you don't get any kind of a burn like you'd expect on a drink that's got, 16% alcohol in it. I mean, I wouldn't expect a hell of a lot of burn, but I expect a little bit. But,
I'm trying to think of something I've had other than sake that would be about 16%. I mean, some beers get close. The highest beer I've gotten is 12%.
Yeah.
Whiskeys blow it out of the water. Whiskeys are usually 60 or better.
I would think there would be some stronger wines that are around 16.
That's what I'm thinking of. Some wines where you can kind of taste the alcohol in them. I guess burn's not exactly the right word. Because at that point, it's not really a burn. It's more of just the you can taste it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When we were talking, I judged the Honey Weiss by Leinenkugel. It got a 78, which is fair. It didn't do very well on my score, and I don't know why I don't like it. I normally really like Leinenkugels, but it just wasn't my favorite.
I had an experience like that with Shock Top earlier. I really love their summer shandy. I've been going through all their summer flavors. I've tried their apple crisp, the shandy.
That one's good.
And they came out, I don't know if it's new, but I just saw it, a raspberry shock top for their summer selection. And I bought it thinking, this is going to be good. I mean, I just had the summer shandy and I loved it. Popped open the raspberry one, drank it, and then I thought, this is a purple haze that failed. So I've got four more of them in the fridge. I'm going to drink them because they weren't bad beers. It's just when the first thing I think of this is this type of beer, and then it failed to be that type of beer, I just don't want to. It's not something I'm going to buy again.
Yeah.
The Adolphus Brewing Company with their Purple Haze did a much better job of a raspberry Hefeweizen.
It's not every company, and especially with the variety that they put out, not every company can get it. Well, no company can get it right every single time. Because it's amazing how many beers companies come out with now. It's like every year you've got a totally new selection for Leinenkugel and Top and every other beer company out there. If you just see, granted, when I was younger, I wasn't looking at beer so much because I was 12, but still, there did not used to be the variety that there is nowadays.
I think that's fantastic. I mean,
I do too. I think it's great everybody's turned into a beer snob.
It's coming back. Literally, Prohibition killed beer in this country for a long time.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because prior to that, there were dozens of varieties of beers.
Yeah,
it's taken us a long time to recover.
You always used to see, guys who they just go get, whatever the cheap beer was, 24 pack or whatever, and there was no flavor to it. I never had really any interest whatsoever in Budweiser or any of the stuff my grandfather or my dad was drinking. I was like, whatever. And I guess that's probably one of the reasons I went straight for whiskeys and vodkas and stuff like that early on. Because at least I could taste those, And then I started coming back and trying some of the different craft stuff and really started getting into some of the different beers because, they actually had flavor to them. It wasn't piss in a can.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of which, If you see horse piss, it's actually a decent beer. Also made by the Kentucky Ale or the Kentucky Ale Company.
Oh, you mean in a bottle? Okay, I got it now.
No, actually, I bought it in a can. It was in a 22-ounce can.
Okay. I just thought you meant, like, at the 4-H fairground or something. And I was like,
Madman standing under the horse with a bucket, just, you know.
Like, we're going to need to ferment this.
Well, I mean, if it's, as long as you add sugar, some sort or the other, you could ferment it.
Oh, stop. We're not talking about fermenting actual horse piss. That's horrible.
Oh. Okay. All right. Did tell you guys about the new wine I'm making, right? Well, I haven't made it yet, but I'm going to. It's going to be fermented out of vegetables. Peas, in general. I'm going to call it Rofaxin's Pea Wine. Yeah. Hey now. Don't piss away your money on bad wine. Buy Rofaxin's Pea Wine.
Oh, God. Well, at least you can have some fun with it, right?
That's right. And actually, like, I've got enough people who think it's funny and they want a bottle of it, my first batch of it, if I ever make it, which I don't know if I will, because you have to have some pride as a brewer. The whole first batch is already promised to random people.
So, all spoken for, huh?
Yeah, it's all spoken for, and it's like, no, you can't, no. Why can't you ask for meat or something? That's actually good. Yeah, but now it's going to be quite popular if I ever make it.
Yeah. Well, I bottled up my Blackberry homebrew last week, and I was kind of hoping to have some ready for this show, but obviously it's not going to happen, so I'm going to wait for the next one. I'm honestly have no idea how it's going to come out, because I tasted it when I was bottling it just to see how it came out, and the blackberry flavor is in there, but it's not very strong. But the beer itself is actually really strong, and I think it's because of all the sugar out of the blackberries. So, and I let it, you know, ferment for 3 weeks. But so yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to trying it when it's actually done, because I think it's going to end up being a really interesting beer. I'm not going to say good just yet because I don't know, but we'll see. I mean, it seems
like you would want a mild raspberry flavor. The thing with fruit beers is blackberry, I'm sorry. Blackberry. You don't want the fruit to overpower the beer, so that's probably a good thing that it's more mild.
The balance on it otherwise seemed fine. Of course, I don't know how well you can really tell that before the beer's, you know, done. But, like, I didn't get blown away by hops or anything, which is good.
Sounds promising.
So we'll see when it comes out, and actually when it's done, if I've got enough of it, I may bring a couple bottles up to Gen Con for doing this, but if it's not good, well, we'll see. I may bring a few bottles anyways and hand them to Sloth.
If it's not good, just put it on the slightly indifferent product review show.
Here you go.
This. I haven't had a time to brew a new mead, but I did, I mean beer, but I did actually make a really good mead. I made chai mead. Worked quite well. I added like the chai tea mix to it or whatever and kind of gave it a spicy flavor. It was actually really good. So I'm thinking I might want to do something like maybe, you know, get a lighter beer and add a little bit of the chai stuff to it and kind of give it that spicy, almost kind of like kind of remind you of a pumpkin beer, but no pumpkin in it. You just have like the chai, because that's a really nice mix of spices. Just, I don't know, chai mead was really good, so I'm thinking of how I can adapt it to beer.
I want to find a good mead, but all the ones I've found that are even claiming mead at all, it's honey flavored white wine.
Yeah, that's not mead. Pisses me off when they call it mead, because it's honey-flavored white wine.
Yeah, and you have to read the back of the bottle fine print to even see that much of it.
Yeah, I know, that's a bunch of crap. And even from respectable brewers, I think Oliver's is actually a white wine, honey-flavored white wine. And I was like, you're a brewer, have a little respect. Yeah, mead is hard to find, because I brew a lot of mead. and it's really good. I don't know why it's not more popular. There is a New Day meadery. I think it's somewhere in Indiana. I have heard very good things about them, but I have never actually gotten around to trying their mead. But that's probably the most promising lead I know of, because I haven't seen anything promising in the store. But I don't know, they might sell New Day meadery mead where you are.
Okay. I don't know, I haven't seen it like anywhere.
I'll look for it.
I'm really not. They're kind of smaller, but they're growing relatively quickly. Not to the point I've seen them in stores, but maybe in a specialty shop somewhere. If you see it, you might try, because I've heard really good things about them, and they're definitely real mead. I mean, honey and water mixed together, and they've got a lot of crazy flavors out there that sound interesting, and I've heard they're really good, so if you see them, I definitely try them. Or go to Fountain Square in Indiana, apparently. I'll drive.
Maybe while we're up there.
I wonder where Fountain Square is relative to us. Indiana's really not... It's not much of a drive for us.
No, it's not.
How far away it would be?
About 2 hours to get to Indiana. I'm not sure
Indiana?
Where in Indiana we're going.
Hour and 30 minutes.
Perhaps. I think it's like in the Indianapolis basic area.
Oh, so 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Oh, we might have to look into that. I don't know. I'm pretty much out of topics. I guess we ought to start planning topics for these shows as opposed to just going with it. Although I kind of like just going with it and seeing where things end up. Because then we end up
topics
talking about tactical bacon.
Yeah, I know. And better than tactical bacon. I don't have any other beer topics. We could talk about why rooting your phone always screws it up.
Yeah, that's my kind of the wrong show
experience.
For that.
I know.
Well, okay. What the hell? I'm currently running the Liquid Smooth ROM on my S3. What have you thrown out?
My ROM's the weird one from the Chinese website.
Oh, God. No wonder you're having problems.
Yeah, I know. Oh, the thing is, nobody makes ROMs for my phone. Because apparently it wasn't popular. Okay, because I have the Atrix 2. I can find billions of ROMs for the Atrix. But nothing for the Atrix 2. Oh. I don't know.
Sure, there's a specialty form somewhere for it.
You know, I have looked, and I've really not had much luck. This is the Edison ROM. It does come from a spooky-looking Chinese website, but it's called the Edison ROM. And I have looked everywhere for ROMs for the Atrix 2, and I just can't find it. It wasn't a popular phone. Which is why I really want the Note 3 when it comes out, because there'll be all sorts of ROMs for that. Plus, it's cool.
The hardware from the Atrix 1 close enough that you can use their ROMs?
I don't know. I wish I did, because you think it would be close enough. But I've never had, like, a ROM totally fail on me, and I don't know what would happen if it did. Like, if it was totally legitimately the wrong ROM, how bricked would my phone be, and could I actually recover it? Because I can't just not have a phone. I mean, a computer, I can be down without a computer for a couple weeks as long as I've got a spare one, and you can recover a computer no matter how bad you screw it up. I mean, don't even need
worst
a hard
case scenario,
drive.
You
can
buy a hard drive, I mean.
right. I've got one computer here, which I rarely use, but because it's old. But I have one computer that when I was using it, I was running Puppy Linux from, like, the disk. It was given to me without a hard drive, and it was too old to justify buying a hard drive, so I just ran it from the disk, and it worked fine. But you can't really do that on a phone. If you screw it up, like, you can't call people anymore. though I'm kind of scared to try the Atrix, just out of fear it's going to screw something up so bad I can't fix it.
That's when you have a cheap little burner phone, you stick a SIM card in until you so you can make phone calls to fix the phone that you want to use.
That's a good point, but I don't have a burner phone. I suppose I could buy one, though.
I have a $15 flip phone in a drawer, just so when I fuck something up.
Well, when I do actually buy a new phone, because I've been in the habit of somehow... Well, my phone's 2 years old, because my phone company is crap and won't let me update. But yeah, when I get a new phone, there's all sorts of things I want to try on my old phone just to see if they really work or not. And if they do, I'm going to keep them as a backup. I like the idea of having a backup phone, which I haven't had a backup phone for 2 years, so.
You know, I used to keep backup phones, and my family always ends up stealing them.
I've got to find my old SIM card.
What, you mean the one we just replaced?
No. The one that came with that phone, because the phone we just replaced, I actually grabbed it after I washed the phone that I was using.
Oh.
And I swapped SIM cards out on it, but I still have the SIM card that came with that flip phone. I want to give it to RU at the meetup. He says he has trouble getting unlocked SIM cards. That's a completely good U.S. non-traceable SIM card. You can give that guy any name you want, and the SIM card will work.
Good luck finding it.
I think it's in a sock drawer.
You know what I did find out, which surprised me? You know, you can totally have a phone, an Android phone, that's in no way connected to Google. You don't have to sign in with your Google email, or use Gmail, or... download the Play Store.
And you just don't install the G apps when you go to like CyanogenMod or whatever, and you can run a totally Google-free phone.
I guess it just surprised me that was a possibility. I guess it makes sense. In retrospect, I just wasn't thinking it would ever be a possibility.
That was one of the very first things CyanogenMod did after Google shit their pants because CyanogenMod was shipping all the Google apps in their ROM. Let's figure out how to do that. There's actually a full-on open source repository for doing that. What was it called? Crud. There's another, basically an alternative Android marketplace that's specifically meant for not being Google.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm blanking on the name, though. I'll find
it
real quick.
I don't really have a huge problem with Google, and I like my Google app, so I'm not getting rid of them, but knowing the possibility there is kind of cool.
F-Droid. I think it was called F-Droid for, you know, FOSS repository.
I thought it was for Fuck Droid.
Well, it could be that, too.
Could be both. Now officially moved to my Tomatin again. Ran out of beer.
Uh-oh. Well, that's probably a good time to wrap things up, because I'm not going to pour any more of this sake, even though I've got the whole bottle right here. And, Madman, you finish everything up there?
Yes.
Awesome. So we're at right about an hour, and since we've gotten completely away from alcohol and we're talking about rooting phones, I guess it's probably time to wrap up the show.
Probably. Anyway, I still have to play Oblivion.
Oh, jeez.
I think classic games once in a while.
It's like, yeah, well, Rofaxon went to play Oblivion, and we haven't heard from him in a year.
So, yes.
So let's pick a random sound.
If you're going classic game, wouldn't it be Daggerfall?
Oh, that's true, and I haven't played that one yet.
You haven't played Daggerfall? Oh, my dude.
You know, I didn't get into the Elder Scroll things until Oblivion, and it's kind of hard to go that far back graphic-wise.
Oh, no, dude, Daggerfall, it's worth it, though. That game is so much fun.
Are you going to play Elder Scrolls Online when it comes out?
Oh, that's stupid. I don't like online games. They don't count.
They don't.
It's like Final Fantasy. I always thought it was weird that Final Fantasy 11 and 14 don't exist.
11 and 14 don't exist.
No, awesome. I really don't care for online games, so I will, it mostly because I'm antisocial. That's actually why I do podcasts, because it feels like I'm being social, but this is the only human interaction I ever have.
His only human interaction is sitting in a room alone, speaking to a computer, and hoping that the voices coming out of it are real.
That's pretty much it.
They're real voices, but are they real people?
This time I spend in my darkened room, because I really am in a darkened room, that's as close as I come to talking to people. I'm okay with that.
All right, I've got three sound clips on the board here we could close up the show with. We've got one called Alex Jones Emergency, we've got one called Beaver Rape, and we've got one called Evil Waffles, which it looks like it's very short.
Well, we've already heard the beaver rape, and it was great, so I'm going with Evil Waffles.
Yeah.
All right, we'll close out with Evil Waffles.
Evil beware, we have waffles.
What the... Was that Raven?
I don't remember where I got that sound clip. It could have been.
Okay, go with beaver rape now. We'll just say it's ended after that.
I want you to answer a simple question. Where in the fuck is my beaver rape scene? That scene's worth a fortune. There was no sexually explicit footage in that scene. No tits, no cocks, no pussy, no obscene body movements. Read my lips. Not X-rated.
All right, I'm stopping the recording now.